recap of Sunday's readings, it's time for Homily Highlights on Mater Dei Radio.
And today's homily highlight from Deacon Scott Aiken from Holy Redeemer Catholic Church in Vancouver.
The will of God is life and goodness for us. That's the theme that we hear throughout the readings today. Life and goodness for us. But do we believe this? If the answer we give is yes, I believe, how easy can we sometimes forget that or lose sight of that? Especially with loss and challenges in our lives and in what we see happening in the world. Though it doesn't change the fact that the will of God is life and goodness for us. My wife broke her leg about 4 years ago, falling off the steps in our garage. She fell right down on one knee on the hard cement. It was a bad fall, but she got up and could seem to walk on it. The day went by and her colleague at work said she should really get that looked at. So she went and got it x-rayed, and sure enough, it was broken. But the crazy thing was that the doctor sent her on her way without putting a brace or a cast or anything on it. We still can't figure out why. But about a week went by, and though she could still hobble and walk on it, it was hurting way worse. So she called back the doctor's office and told them, and they were shocked that she hadn't had a brace the whole time since that x-ray. And they apologized and immediately ordered a brace and also an MRI because now they thought maybe the bone had moved over that period of time. A couple of nights later, we were sitting together in the family room, and she said her leg was really hurting, even though she had been wearing that brace now for a couple of days. So I asked her if we could pray over it, and we did. We prayed for the pain to subside, and we prayed for her leg to be healed. She said she felt some warming going on around the knee, and indeed, it did feel better that night. Several days later, we finally made it over to the doctor to get the MRI, and the specialist, after having conducted the procedure, came and said, "There appeared to be no break." He showed us the previous x-ray, and it clearly showed the break. Then he showed us the MRI imaging, and it was not there. He told us it could not have healed this fast, but couldn't account for this huge discrepancy. We were at a loss for words. It was miraculous. And the more we talked about it, the more it affirmed for us God's goodness. Why did he heal that and not other things, though? I can't account for that. But I know it was a miracle, and that it was our faith in Christ that brought it forth. We hear in today's gospel, the disciples ask Jesus, "Increase our faith." And Jesus proceeds to describe, "If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you would say to the mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you." It seems a challenge to imagine a tree uprooting, right? But he makes no equivocation for it. See, a small amount of deep faith can accomplish great things if that small amount of faith is placed in an all-powerful, loving God. Jesus uses a master-servant parable to teach the disciples and us that for faith to be effected, it must be rooted in trust, obedience, and total commitment. He says, "When you have done all you have been commanded, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have done what we were obliged to do.'" What an interesting phrasing, "what we were obliged to do." So I looked up, what's the difference between obligated to do, which I think at times people feel obligated more than obliged. What's the distinction between those two definitions? Well, obligated means to be morally or legally bound to do something. Oblige, the word used in the gospel today, means to be in debt of gratitude because of a favor or service. God sent his only son to die for us, for me, for you. Are we not in a debt of gratitude for what God has done and what he has promised for those who have faith? Faith, an integral part of being a disciple, must be an active submission to God with a willingness to do whatever he commands. Sometimes that puts us in an uncomfortable position. Maybe we don't feel we can pray over somebody because we don't feel worthy, maybe. That's irrelevant to God. If we're prompted by God to pray over someone, take that action. That's the disciple who follows not on the feeling but on the faith, that if I pray for this person with all my heart, good things can happen. Sometimes the command we receive when we are anxious about something is to wait. And waiting takes patience, trust, and faith. Maybe you're waiting for an answer to your dilemma or an answer of healing. It takes patience and persistence. So as I was writing this homily, I thought of the wedding at Cana, and I thought of Mary. Rooted in deep faith in her son, she tells the servants to do whatever he commands. And then Jesus proceeds to act on his mother's request, and he carries out his first public miracle. He changes the water into wine, bringing life and goodness to the married couple and the community gathered. I remind us of this because it is the first example in the Bible where Mary shows us what discipleship, rooted in faith in her son, can accomplish. It is Jesus who does the miracles always, always. But we are invited into being part of miracles for others when we use the gifts within us with faith to cooperate with Christ, helping to share his gift of grace with another. I did that with my wife and asked her to trust in that faith. Mary constantly showed faith in her son, regardless of outward circumstances. Imagine this. Mary hears that her son is to be executed. Does she know the fullness of God's plan? No. Just like us. No, she doesn't. But she never wavers in her faith that God will bring about good for her, her son, and the world. If I placed myself in that scene, I would be praying so hard that my son would not have to die, as we all probably would. But indeed, he does die, and Mary watches it. Does she lose faith? No. She keeps faith after the crucifixion that he will keep his promise. Because of that faith, drew the disciples into a similar faith. They were uplifted by hers. So if you've lost someone who you have prayed so hard for a miracle to happen and it didn't turn out the way you had hoped or expected, don't lose faith. God wants goodness for you and that person and will bring that about. Faith is hanging on in spite of not knowing or not seeing. If we knew all of that would happen, there would be no reason for faith. It would be a certainty in our mind. Faith calls us to something deeper. It must be rooted in trust, obedience, and total commitment. How many in the world are suffering from things that could be misconstrued as God's punishment? The war in Ukraine, Hurricane Ian hitting Florida and the Southeast. No, it is the consequence of a broken world. And many of us can share examples of experiencing that broken world in our own immediate families. God, though, wants life and goodness for us. On our part, we must have faith in the midst of all our worldly trials that God remains faithful to us, and in so doing invites us to remain faithful in him by witnessing the sacrifice of his son. Death does not win for those who remain faithful. In the example of St. Paul in the second reading, no matter what we are facing that seems dire, that seems as though God has abandoned us, we may be reassured by Mary's example, by the disciples' example, he has not left us. Paul's in jail, completely stripped of his physical freedom, but he has not lost hope. And so as St. Paul implores us today, may we bear our share of hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God.
And that is today's homily highlight. Deacon Scott Aiken from Holy Redeemer Catholic Church in Vancouver.